Father, make that prayer that we've sung in those words true for us tonight, that as we now turn to your word after having sung your praises and as we have read from your word, now as we take in what you want us to hear from this word through human voice, may it be you we hear. May we again open our hearts and our minds to receive from you just what you have to say to each and every one of us. For I ask and pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Well, I'm going to start off with, people have different feelings and different ideas about it, but I'm going to start here anyway, and I don't know what Peter spoke about this morning anyway, so I'm going to ask New Year's resolutions, for, against. People are different, aren't they? People are different with the way they look at it. We often hear people speak mockingly of them, possibly because they can't keep them beyond the first day or two if they make them anyway. So they speak mockingly of them. Others, it helps, it focuses their minds, but often those New Year's resolutions that we make fall by the wayside fairly quickly. But as I say, people often speak mockingly of them and think the promises that people make, I'm going to exercise more or eat less or whatever, read the Bible more, that's so we don't fall on the wayside with that one. But fall by the wayside fairly quickly after we make them. And so consider what we've promised worthless. Why? Is it because they have no hope for the coming year being better than the last? It would be fantastic if every single one of us says, I'm going to pray for two or three more minutes longer each day, and I commit myself to that, or reading a chapter of the Bible, or two chapters of the Bible every day. I'm going to really delve into the Bible more. They're fantastic things to do because it means that we're going to be learning and listening to God more throughout our lives. The words of our text, and it was Romans chapter 15 and verse 13, challenge us to maintain an attitude about ourselves, about our communities, which are the exact opposite of pessimism and cynicism. It paints for us a picture of our God who has high hopes for each and every one of us, who promises to fill us with hope and optimism as we face our present and our future, whatever that future may be. J.B. Phillips translates our text from Romans 15, and he puts it this way, very close, but he puts it this way. May the God of hope fill you with joy and peace in your faith, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, your whole life and outlook may be radiant with hope. That's a fantastic thing to have happen in our lives. That our whole life and our whole outlook may be radiant with hope. And so we're going to look at those three words, as I said earlier. Hope, joy, and peace, just for the next few moments this evening. See, the God of hope declares that we can abound in hope. It's just not for God alone or for Jesus or for really holy people. We can abound in hope, each and every one of us. The Bible speaks repeatedly of our God and his high hopes for each and every one of us. Our Father is not in despair about our future, and nor should we be. We have a great future in Christ Jesus our Lord. Our future looks rosy as we look ahead to all that lies before us. He wants us to face the future with hope and makes his desire for us come to fruition by meeting our needs. The God of hope declares that we can abound in hope. For hope fills us with excitement and optimism. Are you filled with excitement for 2019? Are you filled with excitement at what God's going to do in your life in this coming year? He's got some fantastic plan for you that you haven't even began to think about yet. But he's got some excitement. Have you got excitement and optimism for this church? For Haverhill Methodist Church? Are you filled with excitement with the way the Lord's going to use you in 2019? Do you have hope that men and women are going to be led by the Holy Spirit, by your invitations, by the way that you live your lives, to come and worship here at this church? That they're going to become part of the family of Christ here? They're going to worship with you and serve with you. And you don't even know those people yet because they haven't come through your door. I hope you've got excitement and optimism for Haverhill Methodist Church during this year. Hope is one of the great characteristics that endures to the very end, along with faith and love. And yeah, and I know love is the greatest of these, but hope's up there with it, isn't it? Hope's up there with love and faith. Paul tells us that we can rejoice in hope. Hope produces patience and persistence. Without hope, there is little chance of developing these qualities needed in living the Christian life. Are you filled with patience and persistence? You're not going to give up, are you? You're not going to give up. You're going to be patient and persistent, waiting on the Lord, and be led by him. And in his time and in his way, he's going to work. Hope helps us face the future by the promises of our Lord that he gave to us. You know, every promise that he made, he keeps. He doesn't fail in any promise. The presence of the Lord is with us moment by moment, day by day, wherever we are, whatever we're doing. The presence of the Lord surrounds us and is with us. And the power of the Lord is at work within us when we allow the Holy Spirit to come in and take control and be guided and led by him. That power of the Holy Spirit that worked in the time of Jesus and helped him to raise the sick and helped him to open ears, helped him to feed 5,000 people and all the other things that we see him doing. That same power that enabled Jesus Christ to do that in his time is the same power that works in our lives and helps us to do the things that God wants us to do in this day and age. This is Epiphany Sunday as well, and you may have reminded yourselves of the journey of the wise men and magi this morning. You may or you may not have done. But what about the hope in their lives? What they see? A star in the sky that they recognized was a special star. Miles away from where they were, but they saw this star and they recognized it. It signified the hope of a new king being born. Can you imagine the excitement and the optimism, the patience and the persistence that those people had in their lives as they made that journey? However long it took, wherever it seemed to lead them, they went on and followed it until it came to the place where the child was. It would have been easy for them to have given up, to have gone back and say we just couldn't find what we were looking for. But they were filled with excitement. They were filled with optimism. They were filled with patience and persistence. And I believe that the God of hope declares that we can abound in that same hope in this day and in this age. But the God of hope desires to fill us also with joy. It is significant that the text expresses the hope that God might fill us with all joy. Now, you and I know that joy is so misunderstood in our world today. It's a misunderstood concept. And often joy is mistaken for happiness. Happiness is linked to something which happens to you and those you love. Happy things happen. I was happy. I was happy when my granddaughter walked through the door and saw her gifts on Christmas morning. That made me happy. Joy is something deeper than that. Joy is deeper. I don't know whether you have it in the Methodist Church. We used to sing this little old ditty. I've got the joy, 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 joy of the Lord down in my heart. You see, joy doesn't depend on my happiness. Joy and pleasure are often confused. Christian joy is not dependent upon the circumstances of man. Excuse me. And people will say, how are you? I'm all right under the circumstances. We don't live under the circumstances. We live above the circumstances in Christ. Joy is a thankfulness for who God is and for what he has given us through Jesus Christ, his Son, whose birth we have just celebrated. See, our Father God, our Heavenly Father, wishes to fill us with the joy of forgiveness. We make mistakes, things go wrong, but we can know the joy of forgiveness that our Heavenly Father gives us. The Father God wishes to fill us with the joy of eternal life. The Father God wishes to fill us with the joy of belonging to his family. You people, the joy, I'm sure there is joy being part of this Christian family here. That you love one another, you look out for one another, you support and encourage one another. There's a joy of being adopted into the family of God. The Father God wishes to fill us with the joy of knowing that we will go to heaven and we will be with him and see him face to face. The Father God wishes us to know the joy of serving others, of helping others enter into a life of faith. I'm sure that you all have that joy of service, that you found that niche where you can serve the Lord within this place. Whether it's making a cup of tea and serving biscuits, whether it's cleaning it, whether it's welcoming people at the front door when they come in, whether it's leading worship, being part of the worship team, whatever, whatever. The joy of serving one another and joy of serving others. Let's go back and just link it to the wise men again. Can you imagine the joy? I don't know how many, someone will know how many miles they travelled. I don't know how many miles. I know it was a long way. It was a long way. And can you imagine their joy that they would have felt when they found that house and came into the presence of the Christ child, who by now would have been a little bit older? Can you imagine the joy? We have found the house where the Christ child, the star-promised new king, had been born. To be able to present him with gifts which would so fittingly speak of his purpose for coming, his suffering and death for each and one of us. They'd had the persistence to carry on, keep going on, keep having the hope, the faith that we will one day find the Christ child. And the joy of entering into that place where he was and being able to present him gifts. Are you still filled with the joy of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour? Do you still find joy in serving him in whatever, how humble or how great a way that he desires of it? Do you hand over the gifts that you have to him to be used by him? I hope we still have the joy of the Lord deep in our hearts, that circumstances will not be able to shake whatever we face in 2019. And the God of hope fills us with his wonderful, wonderful peace. See, God wants to bring order into the chaos of man's life. He wants shalom. He wants a peace that only he can give in people's lives, to bring tranquility where there is turmoil. We live in a dangerous world, don't we? We live in a dangerous world when a father and a son can get on a train for a trip into London, and that dad doesn't make it off the train alive. Isn't that? We live in a dangerous world. But we need to be comforted by knowing that God will help us and seek to bring good out of everything that life brings to us. God wants to give us the gift of peace that comes through faith in Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit of God, who dwells in us from the moment of our conversion, seeks continually to bring us into harmony with his will and making inner peace possible. You see, I think that true peace and the peace that God wants to have, it only comes into our lives when our lives are aligned with his. His will and our will are aligned, and we're following his purpose and his will in our daily living. And when we reach that point, maybe we won't see it this time, when we reach that, then we can be at, have inner peace, shalom, in our lives. Can you imagine the wise men traveling home by a different route would have known peace in their lives from having fulfilled their goal, from having set out when they set out, completing the journey? Can you imagine what they would have felt like if they'd given up? Can you have felt like if they'd turned back on the journey? Would they have known peace? I don't think so. I think the rest of their lives they would have gone through what might have been, what could have been, what should we have done, what was God calling us to? But they didn't. They fulfilled the journey. They listened to the voice of God to go back by a different route and to bypass Herod and Jerusalem. And I believe they would have traveled back to their homes knowing peace in their lives because they had listened to God. They had followed his leading in their lives, heard his voice speaking to them, and fulfilled God's purpose for them. I hope we're listening to God and hearing what he has to say to us. But tonight, let us rejoice that God wants to give us hope, that he wants to fill us with all joy, and that he wants to fill us with his peace. Our God will do this in us, for us, and through us by the power of his Holy Spirit. And if we will respond to him with genuine faith, we can face this new year in a hope that is beyond all comprehension. And we can commit ourselves to him who gives us these gifts. What wonderful gifts they are for us for this new year. He wants us to have hope. He wants us to have joy. And he wants us to have peace. Wonderful, wonderful gifts that God wants to give us. May we accept them and receive them into our hearts and lives tonight. And we go out from this building convinced that we will follow his will and purpose for our lives. Shall we pray? Father God, we thank you for all your gifts. We thank you for all that you do to help us in our commitment to you, that you long to have that loving relationship with us. We're so glad that we have come to know you as our Father. We know you as our Father and Jesus Christ, your Son, as our Saviour. And I pray for each person here tonight that they may know the gifts that you want to give them this year. There will be other gifts, but tonight the gift of hope, the gift of joy, and the gift of peace, may each person here receive them. And through receiving them, face this year with great optimism and enthusiasm and excitement for what you're going to do through them. We pray for this church again, Father, and pray that you will bless this congregation. You will bless this family of your children in ways that they can't even begin to imagine at this moment. So be with us and continue with us as we conclude our worship this evening, for I ask it and pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.